Morning. How are you guys doing? Good. My name is Jezer Garcia, and one of the pastors here at Hannaford. If this is the first time or a few times you've been here and you don't know who I am, so Pastor John asked me to speak this morning. He's on a trip. He's well-deserved rest. You know, he took a 5 days off out of 360 days that he doesn't rest. So I think well-deserved. But anyways, we're so glad you guys are here, and I hope you enjoy our service, and good morning. So let me pray for you before we start. So I always like to pray, have a word of prayer, and ask God to lead us and help us with any distraction or anything that keeps us from hearing His word today. Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you that you've been blessing this church, and you're blessing our pastors and everybody that comes here. So excited that you give us the chance and the freedom that we have to be in a church like this. We ask your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and help us to understand what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good. So it has been about 16 years, a little past 16 years that I've been here in Montana, actually in the U.S. So there's few things I actually learn about, so I feel more American than ever. So probably at one point I'm going to be more American than I actually am Brazilian. So, but I love this country. You know, one of the first things I remember doing here, it was when I came, it was the opposite of the weather. So summer in Brazil, winter in here. So I come in December, and I was so excited for the snow. So I really like the snow and the cold. Now, sometimes I get a little tired of the snow and the cold, but I can't, it's okay. But one of the things was pretty cool is this spring came around, or whatever we call spring here, you know, the 2 days that we have. So my father-in-law, you know, he comes in this church. So Randy, he's trying to teach me a few things. I think he was so excited because he was learning something about me, but also he was excited to show me some things around what we do in the U.S. But one of the things is, you know, growing up, the only sport you play other than soccer in any other country is soccer. So we don't play any other sports. So we come. So he was telling me about how a lot of people like golfing. So he's going to teach me how to golf. And I'm like, okay, this looks interesting. You know, in soccer, the goal is very big for a small ball. So this is a little ball with almost as same size hole that you have to put it on. I was like, okay, we'll try a few. I was horrible at it. So he puts in our yard, if you've been in my house, we face the west side. And there's no buildings, nothing. So we have this idea that he's going to teach me how to drive on our backyard. So he puts on, and then, you know, he's teaching me all this, how to do it. So the very first time I hit, you know, I took a big chunk of the gravel, and nothing happened. So after a few times, you know, I started to get the hang of it. So the very first drive that actually got somewhere, it hit his garage, made a big hole on his door. And, you know, and Randy, if you know Randy, he's very different than my dad. If that happened to my dad, he's like, okay, you suck at this. You're not good. Just, you know. But he's like, no, you can do it. This is good. It doesn't matter. My garage is going to be okay. So, and then I start hitting some, and then it was going somewhere. And then all of a sudden, you know, the next house by our house, it's about 150 yards, I would say. So I hit the drive, and then it just went high. And then we're all screaming, you know, in the driveway, like two little boys, like, yeah, you know. And it started going. And I noticed that the drive started to take a different direction. And it started going up, and all of a sudden it started to curve to the right. And it kept going and going and going. And the excitement went from a concern. It changed to different feelings. And I started to get concerned. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's going to hit a house. So we're both, oh no, oh no. And boom, and hit this house's roof, right? And my first reaction, you know, come from Brazil, so I'm like, oh, we were going to be in trouble with the law, I'm going to be in jail, you know. I'm looking at it, and then when I look down to ask my father-in-law what to do, you see this 60-year-old man running, taking off. And I said, what are you doing? He's like, just run and hide, you know, run and hide. So I'm like, I guess that's what we do in the U.S. We run and hide. So we took off running, and then we go inside of the house, and obviously my mother-in-law was like, what's going on? Nothing. We're doing totally okay. So later on, you know, my mother-in-law, she was treating us like we were two little boys, and she said, you guys got to figure that out. But anyways, we had to confess, and then I feel like, yeah. Anyways, that's my father-in-law. He's not here, so I can share stories like that. But anyways, when we do something, you know, you see that, and I could share a story about being a little boy and doing so many things that you do wrong, and then you decided to hide. You know, it's part of our nature. You know, when we do something we shouldn't, you know, or something even in our lifestyle, we all do the same thing. We hide. We like to hide when we do things. And sometimes we hide in many different ways. We hide for avoiding people. You know, sometimes we do things, and other times we, not so much in trouble, but we avoid some of our bosses. You know, some of the students, we do that. We avoid our teachers. And some will be avoiding the police. And sometimes we try to hide and avoid people that even those that we love. You know, we hide from our parents. We hide from our kids sometimes. You know, I remember bringing a girlfriend to introduce to my parents. It was never a fun thing. So I always hide to chauffeur. I don't know, for whatever reason, I did not like to introduce my new girlfriend to my parents. I don't know if it was embarrassed, but there's a lot of things. Sometimes we hide. And other times, more interesting, we hide from God. We hide from God because sometimes we are afraid. Sometimes there's something in us that keeps us from being totally honest and being in the presence of God. And sometimes we hide because we have some experience with other Christians. And that is something that you hear a lot from other people. I have a friend, and he's our neighbor. And I always invite him to come to church. He's a nice guy. We love him, and we would love to see him coming to Christ and coming to a church, but he always has this idea that if he comes to church, the whole building is going to collapse on him. You know, do you have friends like that you invite, and they say, you have no idea, I have so much that I have to change to come to church. And maybe, you know, you have someone like that, or maybe you feel that way sometimes, and maybe that perception comes from the idea that God sees the world the way we see it, the way we see it. Or he sees the sinners the way we do it. Excuse me. Or maybe it comes from other experience that they have with other Christians, other believers. Perhaps you grow up with the idea that God is an angry God. I did. You know, the idea that God is ready to punish the sinners all the time. He's ready to punishing those who are not doing so well. And you learn in a very early age to keep distance from God. And perhaps you learn that God's is love, but there's something about his love that is conditional. That it's based on your performance, based on the things that you do, that you're going to get approval by God. It's a conditional love. So this idea of hiding from God is not a new idea. It's not. Men and women have been hiding from God since the beginning. Since sin was introduced in the world. And I'm going to read it to you. This is in Genesis 3:8-10. It's a very familiar story, but we all know. But this is the first time the man was introduced to sin, and you already see them hiding. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. I remember reading this story, and I always was somewhat laughing. Someone, you know, I had a weird sense of humor. I still kind of do. But I always find interesting that story that Adam is hiding from God, playing hide and seek. But God is searching for Adam. But in this story, even in the beginning, you see two things about the personality and the nature of man and the nature of God. Two things. One is about our nature, and the second is about God's nature. We're always hiding from God. Always. We're always trying to hide from God. That's our nature. And God's nature, He's always seeking humanity. He's always seeking humanity. It is the very nature of God to seek and ours to hide. There's a story I would like to share with you guys this morning in the Bible. And it's a very well-known story. A lot of the Sunday school teachers were going to love this because it's one of the most preached taught type of stories in the Bible in Sunday school. Some of you guys didn't grow up in a church, so it might be new. But what I want to tell you, we're going to study today the story of a guy called Zacchaeus. So before you start playing the song in your head about Zacchaeus was a little man, so I want you to do something that I always ask people to do it. Just put it down, everything in your mind, all the concepts that you have, all the little songs that you have about Zacchaeus. But I want you to invite you to dive into the story as if it was the first time you heard that story. I want you to really think about this story in a different way today. Because a lot of times when we hear stories many times, it's very easy for us to gaze through and just forgot a lot of the principles and the things that God is teaching you new. So this is the challenge I have for you. So it's a story in Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. And I'll read for us. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He was gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." He came to seek and save the lost. Before we get into it, so what do we know about this man called Zacchaeus? So it's very interesting that the Gospel of Luke is the only one that's going to share that story. And the reason is because Luke has an agenda about this story and about many other stories you see in the Bible. He wrote for most people that were non-Jewish. It's an audience of people that actually were just misfits, because in Bible times, people thought that the Jewish people, the Jews, were the only one that deserved God. So Luke has this agenda to write to those who are the misfits, the ones who were non-Jew. And Luke wanted to show all the audience that Jesus didn't discriminate, and he came for anyone and everyone from all kinds of background. And this is why today we're in a church with most people that we believe are Christians, because Luke had that idea too, that it was put by God to reach out to people that were not Jewish. Zacchaeus was a Jewish, but he was hated by his own people. He was an outsider, He was a misfit. He was a socially outcast man. He was a Jewish chief tax collector, a very rich man, which makes sense because in that area was a very prosperous area in Jericho. He was a tax collector working for the Roman Empire. If you think about this, it was a whole entire nation that was dominating Israel. And this man worked for the same people that are doing that. So he was a traitor, but not only a traitor, but he was a cheat. Because he would charge high tax with no accountability, and a percentage he would put in his pocket, and the other one he would give to the Roman Empire. Nobody like Zacchaeus. Not even his own people. Lonely man, sad man, hated man. And what do we know about Jesus at this point? So we see this part of the story. Jesus is in his last week on earth. He was getting ready to be crucified. So at this point, everybody knew about Jesus one way or the other. So he was getting very famous, very popular. People knew about the miracles. And some would say he was a prophet. Some would say he was a blasphemer, or he called himself the Son of God. Some say that he was an imposter. So his fame was getting all over the place, and people, some people knew who he was, and other people just have an idea. But he was a very popular man. And some say he was actually the Son of God. Very popular man. So Zacchaeus was extremely, extremely curious about Jesus. And he wants to check it out for himself. But he had a few obstacles to get to Jesus. One, that he was a very short man. I did a little bit of a research on this. The average man on the Eastern side was, at that time, was 5'5". And he was considered a short man for his own time. So he was prime. Think about Danny DeVito, you know, very, very small guy. Probably like 4'10 or below. Very short man. But also, he couldn't get to Jesus because Jesus had been followed by a huge crowd. And that crowd actually did not like him. So he had to figure out what to do. Verse 3 and 4 says this. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead to climb a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. See, he was extremely curious. He knew Jesus was coming that way, so he got ahead, went up in the tree, and he was waiting there. He was extremely curious. He really wanted to see Jesus. And he does what's unthinkable. He climbs a tree, which a lot of times you see on the pictures, or even when you're teaching a kid, you know, you see the picture of Jesus, the little man on the tree, you know, and Jesus looking up. So it kind of have this idea that it's cute, right? But a grown man climbing a tree, it doesn't seem very cute. Who climbs trees? Right? When was the last time you, adults here, climb a tree? Right? For me, I'm 42, so it's been probably 30 years ago. Grown-up men don't just climb trees to see people. But he did that. He climbed a tree. I remember as a kid, you know, I used to climb this tree, and it was a fruit called pine. We don't have here, but it was a big tree that is very spread out branches with big leaves. And I used to climb on that tree just to watch what people were doing in the neighborhood. And it was my way of hiding. And I remember to this time, I remember one girl, I was 12 years old, and I had this girl that really liked me. And every time, you know, you're 12 years old, so you know how 12-year-old boys, they're not interested. So, and I had this girl in the neighborhood, and she always, like, was dressed up and very pretty, you know, and she really liked me, and every time I see him, I went climb on that tree. I remember one time after school, I stay in that tree for 3 hours waiting for the girl to leave the neighborhood. That's what you do when you're 12. That's the last time I remember climbing a tree. It seems childish. Zacchaeus did not look cute. He was laughable. His attitude has been perceived by others as a joke. But there's something to be said about his attitude, and this is why I want you to think about this. He didn't care what others think about him. He wanted to see Jesus so bad. He didn't care what others think. He didn't care if people are laughing at him. He wants to see Jesus. And I tell you this, if you really wanted to get close to Jesus, sometimes you have to ignore what others think about you. I have to do that when I made the decision to follow Christ. It's not easy to follow Christ. It seems that Zacchaeus didn't care for what others think about him. He was tremendously curious about Jesus, with reason. He wanted to see Jesus so bad, but perhaps he didn't want Jesus to see him. I experienced that going up in a tree. It's not easy to see someone who's up in a tree. So maybe he was content watching Jesus from a distance, from his own benefit, what he wanted to see from Jesus, but he didn't want it to be seen. And Luke described this tree as a sycamore tree, and I thought about this, why he has to say exactly what the kind of tree it is. And I did a little bit of research, but also I found out my hometown has many sycamore trees. I just didn't know what a sycamore tree was. I was not curious enough. But I seen how that sycamore tree looked like, and it's very important to understand this, to understand Zacchaeus' intention on this. A sycamore tree, it's a tree that is very branchy and strong branches and wide. The leaves are big and very thick. What some suggested is he did it on that on purpose because he wanted to see Jesus, but he didn't want anybody to see him up in that tree. A very easy to climb tree, but also very easy tree to hide. Very curious, but didn't want to get too close. He knew Jesus was for the poor, the very same people that he's been taking money from. Maybe he knew that Jesus didn't approve his lifestyle. He wanted to become a fan of Jesus, just watching from a distance, but not a follower. Maybe because all the fears. Maybe because he thought that he had to give up a lot of things in his own life to follow Christ. Maybe a fear of commitment or rejection. Perhaps some of us have the same problem. We might have to give up a few things to follow Christ. Sometimes I struggle with that. And we want it to be a Christian from a distance. We don't want to get involved. Maybe we do that because we're afraid of commitment. Maybe giving up some things, some hidden things. Or maybe you're afraid of what he's going to ask us to take on. Maybe some of you are hiding from God, looking from a distance. Because what you've done or who you are, maybe pride is keeping us from having a relationship with Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace to the humble. Maybe you don't want to come to Christ because righteousness. A lot of people in church struggle with that. I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. But the Bible says that we all have sinned and we're separated from God. All. Even the good people. In this story of Zacchaeus, he sits on a tree and he's waiting for Jesus to walk. And I can't imagine the anticipation and the fears and all the tension is going on in his heart. Verse 5 and 6 says, when Jesus reached the spot right under the tree, because Jesus couldn't see him from a distance. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Right now. Can you see the urgency? I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. You see, the most hated man in town, the most sinful man they knew, Jesus called him by his name. Now, can you imagine how startled he was? Can you imagine other people's reaction when he see all those people? And maybe Zacchaeus had this thing where he's saying, all these people are good people, but he's called my name. I don't know about you, but every time I hear my name, it startles me, no matter what, good or bad. Don't you do that? If I hear like, Jezer, I'm... Right? What did I do? Oh, if the last name comes, and then I'm in trouble. I know that. My mom would do that. But Zacchaeus, not only someone was calling his name, but it's someone very important. The Son of God is calling his name. The most hated man in town. Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was and what he had done. There's nothing new for Jesus. But still, he chose to call him. No discrimination. Zacchaeus has been hiding from God, but Jesus was seeking him. Now he has been found. See, Jesus was not concerned about his occupation or his reputation, but deeply concerned about his salvation. And right now, there's some urgency of that calling. Why? Because love. The Bible says that Zacchaeus comes immediately. And I believe that Zacchaeus came down already a believer when he jumped off from the branch down. He was already a believer. Why? There's so much love, not judgment, in this story. You see, there's something to be said about Jesus. He always loves first. Always loves first. Jesus knew everything about Zacchaeus. He knew he mistreated others, but didn't hold that against him. He still loved him. You see, sin does not change how much God loves you. Sin never changes how much God loves you. He does not like sin. Sin separates, but his love never changes. Here's the reaction of the people, verse 7. This is very interesting for us. Good lesson for us. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. How many times you see this in the scriptures where people are constantly judging Jesus for his motivation to eat, to be with people who are sinner. They miss the point. He missed the point. They missed the point about his mission. And I have to be honest, I would do exactly the same thing. He never, and this is something that I love about Jesus, he never allowed the culture to control what he did. Have you noticed that? He never controlled the culture to dictate what he has to do. And I always wonder about that. I feel like oftentimes we see Jesus, he raises above culture. Raises above. He doesn't care what others think. because his kingdom is not from this world. Because for Jesus, there's something that transcends culture. There's something that transcends approval of others. There's something that transcends politics. Everything that you believe about who deserves this or that, it transcends all that. Why? Because he loves first. He always loves first. His love is sacrificial, unconditional, not conditional. It's not based on your behavior. It's not based on what you do well, but it's based on your condition of a son and daughter of Christ. Unconditional love. And here's the reaction of Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus stood up. I love that. Stood up. He was convicted in his heart. And said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. I'm willing to restore everything wrong I have ever done. I've been hiding from you, but you found me." This is what repentance. This is what love and forgiveness does to us. When we accept Christ, we're willing to give up everything. Everything for him. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham." And now here's the most important thing. If you haven't heard anything, if you're tuning out when I was talking, there's one thing I wanted you to take it home with. The mission of Jesus Christ is on the next verse. His mission as the Son of God. "For the Son of Man came to seek." The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save. "But you don't know what I have done." God knows you. He knows everything about you. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He knows everything. He came to seek and to save. He came to seek and to save. That's his divine purpose, to seek humanity. Do you remember coming back to Adam and Eve? The minute that they sinned against God, they were hiding. And you see that mission of God right away. The minute that men sin against God, God comes after Adam. "Adam, where are you? Where are you? Why are you hiding?" Call by name. The minute that men, the creation, turn against God, he comes after them. And he's calling our names. He's calling your name. He's calling all of us for a relationship with him. And I say this, maybe you already accept Christ, but you're just a Jesus fan that you like to see things on a distance, but you're really not a follower. Don't be hiding from God. Jesus is seeking you for a relationship. Don't be afraid of committing with him, of committing your life to Christ. Don't be afraid of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Isaiah 43, and I'll finish with this, says, "Don't be afraid. I redeem you. I call you your name. You are mine." Don't be afraid. I call you. You are mine. Pastor Josh, I redeem you. This is the Lord saying to you, I redeem you. You are mine. Keith, you are mine. This is the Lord Jesus telling us his mission in this world. And I want to pray for you. As I pray, I want you to think about your life and think about the chances that God has been given to you to be his follower. And maybe some of you already made that decision, but your life is not doing okay. And this is a time for you to confess. This is a time for you to come before his throne and ask for forgiveness. And ask him to come to your heart. And do like Zacchaeus did, is stood up with conviction that he wanted to be a follower of Christ today, not tomorrow. Today, to make a decision to follow him. Let's pray. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray that the same way that you redeem your creation, the same way that when Adam sinned against you, you right away show your purpose in this life to seek and to save. And I pray in the name of Jesus. And I ask for forgiveness for our sins, and we come before you with a humble heart. And we pray that you allow us to be in your kingdom. Help us to live a life that show that we are a follower of Christ. We want it to be your followers. And if there'll be anybody here that haven't accepted you as a Savior, I pray in the name of Jesus that they will ask for forgiveness and they come before you and they surrender their lives to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.